This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. All right, Project, welcome back. We are recording on a day we don't normally record because life is busy. Ralph, you're moving house.
It's a Sunday sermon.
How's the... yeah. God's day. How's the moving? Are you done? You pack everything?
Well, I've moved, so I'm out. Yeah, and nice. Into the new place. First time I've really had, because I've moved before, but never like really strictly on one day, and with like a lot of stuff.
Yeah, been there for the most amount of stuff you've got, right?
Oh my god! And it's three of us.
Didn't you already throw out heaps of this stuff? You were saying you threw out garbage bags.
That was
stuff?
That was honestly the game changer. Was right. Just that because I've heard other people move. Was at the start of the year. I knew this was coming. I actually thought it was gonna be a lot earlier in the year, so I threw out about 30. I think about 35-40% of my belongings.
Yeah, mostly clothes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like man, shit in the kitchen. Like
oh yeah,
barbecue sauce that expired 2 years ago.
Classic.
Protein powder from Brands I never touch anymore. You know, just deep in the kitchen, right? Yeah, yeah. Everywhere. I did every drawer. So throw out all that stuff, but I mean, still a lot of stuff. Also, just the boxing process. And you know, we live in apartments. I'm moving into an apartment, so it's like down the apartment, outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Back up the apartment.
Yeah.
Through the lift.
In the lifts. Yeah.
Anyway, I'd say the highlight of this was that the we call the removalists, and we call them. We're like, oh, you know, we've got some weights and some heavy stuff. Got like quite a few weights, and I got a sandbag, and I got my weight vest, and I'm like, oh, you know, don't worry about it because I'm gonna be there and I'm really strong and I'm gonna help bring it down. They're like, oh, it'll be fine. I'm like, nah, trust me, like some of these are really heavy, 24 kilos and stuff. Anyway, the guy that comes was like Thor. Dude, he was fucking huge. He would have been,
was he on steroids?
Oh, for sure, like maybe 6'2".
Wow, so probably shorter,
yeah, but probably 120 130 kilos.
Oh my
absolutely
lord,
shredded. Arms were so big.
Fuck,
dude, I walked out my weight vest, it was like full weight vest, 30 kilos. I hand it to him with obviously two hands. He holds it in one hand like a bicep curl, and he's like, "Oh, are you ready to take this?" Like
lift it up,
friend, holding it out in front of his head.
So he's enormous bodybuilder, you reckon?
Yeah, I think so, but not all bodybuilders are really strong. He had like genuine strength, like calves, like cut,
huge
shredded,
hands.
Like dude, his hands were like they were like almost dark, like the skin had been darkened from just like hard labor from his whole life.
Jesus.
So tough.
Aussie guy.
Nah, like, barely could speak English. He was like, he's in European.
Oh, okay. Scary.
Yeah.
Scary bloke. Different kind of white.
Absolute savage. And that saves so much time, dude. Like, threw the couch on his back and shit, like.
So good.
He was a pain.
So good.
And, so anyway, I came down with my shirt off.
You should have just loaded him up. You're like, bro, you can take this. Oh, wait, take this. And take this. And take this. Dude, one more.
You know what he did? So, we had a freezer, like one of those big, you know, freezers that you load in, not like a fridge, like a 30-40 liter freezer where you open the door and you stuff in, like a deep freezer.
Yeah.
So I had taken everything out so he could get it downstairs. He's like, no, all good, man. Put it all in. He was like, Jimmy,
I know the deep freezer. It's massive.
That deep freezer. He's like, no, put extra in, man. Put whatever you want in there. I'll just carry it.
Puts it in.
Dude, I put everything in, filled to the brim. He lifts it up himself.
How heavy do you reckon it was? 50 kilos? 60 kilos?
Yeah, well, it's a 40 liter freezer. So, but the actual freezer probably weighs 20-30 kilos. It's probably like an 80 kilo freezer.
Or with everything
with
in it.
With everything in it.
Wow. They sent the right guy.
Yeah.
They sent the right guy to you.
But I was humiliated because I told them on the phone, I'm like, oh, I'm really strong. Don't worry. What was it? My partner. She was like, oh, my partner is really strong. He'll be able to carry stuff down. And he turned up. I had no shirt on. Put my shirt on.
Oh, no.
Put my shirt on straight away.
Get out of the way, little man.
And I was like, oh, you guys got this. So anyway, yeah, I've actually moved to Willara and it's good.
Nice. Yeah, nice. I'll tell you what's interesting. On the weekend, there was, it's been kind of getting quite a few messages outside of the usual sort of stuff that we get from the listeners. Actually, the last couple, so we don't always read them directly, but we get forwarded them by Connor, the producer. And a few of the messages, man, have been really like, I guess we know that we're providing truth and value about health and fitness, but it's, I guess when you reach beyond that for certain people, it's actually... Yeah, it's a really good feeling. So a few messages we got from a couple of guys. I can't remember exactly what their names were. Maybe they want to stay anonymous anyway. But I know one guy was feeling particularly down about the fitness industry and about his role in the fitness industry. I'm not sure if you remember this message or Connor ended up forwarding it to you. But anyway, it was like one of those messages where you realize that, well, I don't want to say we're doing God's work, but it's important work. And I just want to say thank you to whoever sent that message in. Which I guess we're just inspiring him and keeping faith that the work, because I mean, any job you can do, I guess, becomes discouraging at some point if you're not seeing the progress you want to see. But this particular message, someone was feeling, you know, very, very down about being a PT in the industry and, you know, was just kind of giving up on the whole thing and just mentioned that we had inspired him to keep pushing and keep going and that his work was really important, which it is. Like, that's the thing about fitness is, like, it is the most important thing for people. They just, it's just really hard to get people to realize that and to take action towards it every day. So it can be like a frustrating industry. We appreciate that. And then another guy messaged in mentioning that suffers really badly from like bipolar and that like I'm not sure how, but we've really helped him get through a lot of that stuff and a lot of his mental health stuff. So I think it's kind of all related to mental health. And so, sometimes you just think, oh, I'm helping people squat better and just not make stupid decisions with their food. And then you realize potentially some people where, you know, mentally keeping them afloat. Because I know there's been podcasts for me that have helped in those sorts of situations. But they're, in many ways, they are those podcasts. They're like those Jordan Peterson style podcasts, philosophy based or, you know, self-motivation or inspiration based. And I never really maybe thought that's what we were. But I guess maybe just through sharing over time, we have become, that has become an element of what we do.
Yeah. And to go to the fitness one in particular, hopefully this will change in the future, but it's definitely a thing still that personal training is a career looked down upon generally.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you didn't get into anything else, so you did that. But when you look at how it actually plays out, you know, a lot of doctors, you go to the doctor, it's like a regular bulkbuilding place. Man, they're not doing that much good. It's just like writing scripts. They don't give a fuck. It's like 60 seconds. Yeah, here's a script. Take it or don't take it. I don't care. On to the next person. Right? There's so little like really helping people in there. I don't know how often, I know some doctors are amazing, but those type of doctors have like, oh, you changed my life with that antibiotic script I didn't even need because I came in for something else and I spent 40 seconds with you. Like, yeah. I don't know if they even have recurring clients. There's just not much like, bro, that was life-changing having you as my doctor for this scenario, right? I don't know how much good that is, but for trainers, that happens all the time. Even really mediocre trainers that only did it for 9 months are like, oh, I had this one girl, dude, changed her life.
Yeah.
Lost like 15 kilos, best thing she ever did was starting work with me. And that's in their first 9 months and they're beginner and they weren't even a good trainer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's crazy. And I mean, even if you take it outside of the podcast, even, you know, we had one of our client dinners the other night and we were just talking to one of them and he was like, yeah, you saved my marriage. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, man, it's just like, I guess you don't appreciate what you're doing because you don't always see all the results. You know what I mean? Because so much of the results in fitness are internal, right? There's obviously the external changes, but you don't always see the internal changes for someone. And I guess, I don't know, you don't know the situation that's at home. You don't know the personal life. You don't know what things are going on. But yeah, it's cool that that is the work that we do sometimes. We save, I mean, in this case, we saved a marriage, but you know, there's so many other things. Maybe, you know, you become a better father. If you can, you know, if you can be a better dad or you can be a better mom because you're healthier and you're fitter. I mean, that's transforming, you know, not your life, but other people's lives as well. So, no, it's pretty cool stuff. But anyway, moving on from the heavy shit before we start crying, we've got...
our boxing fight coming up.
Yeah, we want to announce that we're going to be on the undercard of Thor versus Hall. Can you believe... Okay, I knew Thor versus Eddie Hall was like, you know, everyone will tune in to watch that. I did not know that the undercard to that fight or the co-main event is Josh Bridges versus Jacob Pepner.
Oh, it's on the same event.
Dude, same event.
It's looking this up now.
It's like, it's become like this crazy, like, you know what I reckon is like, people will just watch anyone fight and people want to get paid, right? These are like underpaid athletes in a way. And they're like, okay, this is a great way for me to get paid. And people will watch.
So Thor is fighting Eddie Hall. And then, so before that, Josh Bridges and Hepner do like a mini fight.
And they're doing a full fight. Okay, one, I hope they don't wear headgear. Maybe you can check that because there's absolutely... I don't want to watch guys punch each other with headgear on. No one gets hurt. I want to see Bridges drop Jacob Hepner. I was watching them box, man. Like, they can box.
Oh, really? They're very athletic guys.
The thing is about boxing, right, is everyone looks really good because Steffi Cohen...
No, it's a six-round boxing match. I think it's proper.
Yeah. So, yeah. Steffi Cohen fought on the weekend, right? She won her first fight. It was like a tune-up fight.
Unsurprising.
No. But you watch Steffi brawl in training and you're like, fuck, she's good. But what you don't realize is that going from actually fighting someone to like hitting pads, it's almost like they're different sports. Right? It's like the under the pressure and with someone firing back at you and you're actually trying to knock someone out, that actually takes, there's no substitute. You can't go into your first fight, I guess what I'm saying is, and have it look really slick. Like, it's just going to be a war. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to look really good outside the ring, and then they're going to get in there, yeah. and they're just going to brawl.
Yeah.
That's what Steffi did. She looks really good. I watched bits and pieces of it. She just went in there, and she's just brawling. You know, and that's just how it is. That's just, you don't have the experience yet to be calm under pressure, and for years and years, like, because you've got to, what a lot of combat sports is, it's like ingrained reflexes. So when X happens, you know, Y happens, yeah. but it's automatic because you don't have time to think about it. So when, like, you slip the jab, you know, the overhand right's got to come straight away, but it's got to be automatic. You can't think about it, right? And so those are the things that you practice, but they take years and years to drill into your system, right? So what'll be interesting is when they fight, even though they'll look really good going into it, it'll just end up being a brawl.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally different. It's like CrossFit is a sport where it is exactly the same as training, whereas yeah. you're entering into a sport where there's the person's moving.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, yeah, if you're just practicing soccer with cones.
Yeah.
And then someone's actually coming at you. Did you listen to Joe Rogan breaking down like Thor and Eddie Hall's boxing?
No.
Oh, it was good on the Matt Fraser podcast. They were talking about it. And they're like, okay. Oh, bring up some clips. And I thought, because Eddie Hall is like really athletic, right? That was kind of his thing. He's like, he could move better than any strong man.
Oh, really? That was the scene?
Yeah.
He's so fat.
No, but he was still small for a strongman.
Right.
Still lighter than those guys.
That made him more athletic.
Yeah. Well, they say he's more... And also, he was like a swimmer growing up. So I think his cardio was better. But they always said he was like really athletic.
Okay.
So people were saying he was going to be good at boxing. Anyway, Joe Rogan thought his boxing was terrible.
I'm unsurprised.
Absolutely savage him. And he actually thought Thor's was quite good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was like, oh, no, it's like really pretty solid technique there.
Yeah.
He was like, no, Eddie Hall is like... He's like, this is so stiff. Mm. Like, he can't move. Obviously, Thor was still stiff.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, he thought his technique was sound.
Yeah, there you go. Well, the thing is, right, it's like, obviously, the Tyson's got the saying, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face. If you're setting up for this boxing fight, if you're... Because I was thinking about, okay, if I was, you know, Josh Bridges and I'm fighting Jake Hepner, obviously, you know, at this point, I'm fighting a dude that's like super competitive, right, and is super fit.
They weigh what, the same as one of them, one of the main events.
What do you mean?
Their combined weight must be less than just one of Eddie
Hall. Yeah, easily. Easily. But I'm thinking to myself, okay, so if I'm going into this fight, what are you doing? This is what you're doing, right? You pick one day of the week. You do a ton of CrossFit. Sorry, you pick one day leading into the fight. You do a ton of CrossFit. Take heaps of footage, right? And then you post that footage out pretending like you're still doing CrossFit in the lead up to the fight. Here's what you're really doing. You're doing fucking 8 hours a day of straight boxing. You're doing nothing else. Your sparring, your technique, your defensive drills, reflex drills. You are doing boxing every single day nonstop, and you are going in there. And you better have done, I reckon, at least 100 rounds of sparring going in there. You want to be so fearless and so... Because that's like the one thing that... If you just hit pads in the lead up to this and do footwork, you will get absolutely destroyed in there. You need to be sparring to get used to that feeling of going in there to ready to like get punched in the face. And you need to make them believe that you're still doing CrossFit.
That's what it says. They are putting the training methodology of CrossFit on full display.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It'll be good. If you want me to say he's going to win, I think Hepner will beat him.
You reckon Hepner will win?
Mm.
It's interesting. I thought Bridges would win because he's like SAS. Isn't he like Navy SEALs?
I think they're boxing that shit. Yeah, he is.
He's like, nah, I refuse to lose. Like, I'm going to die here.
Yeah, I think he'll die.
He will die. Yeah, that's interesting. Bridges is getting on. He's old now.
That's what I think. Yeah, I just think he's older and but, he's in that losing stage of his career. And yeah. He always bites off more than he can chew.
Bridges?
Yeah, he's always like, oh, yeah, no, I'll be good. I'm like 8 years older than everyone else.
Yeah.
The man. And I think Thor will beat Eddie Hall as well.
Thor will beat Eddie Hall.
Just based off Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan's analysis. Yeah, well, I guess we'll see. That will be an interesting fight. Anyway, how have you been going post 75 hard now? It's basically been a week and a half. How's your fallout
interesting to you. It's kind of reminded me of when you like would study for an exam and then you get a bit of an exam hangover. You're like, oh, what do I do with my life now?
Yeah.
You know, I used to be so productive. A little bit of that where you're like, there was probably 4 or 5 days where I almost was just still doing 75 hard by reflex, right? I was doing the outdoor workout at night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like 3 days in a row, I still went out at night and did an outdoor workout. Just
because you part of your habit. Routine.
It was
just
the routine. Like, it was kind of like, oh, I just like feel like it. I just think I'll do like some hill runs or I'll do a walk. And then it stopped. Now it's got stupid.
Yeah.
So there was probably 3 or 4 days was exactly the same. And then there was like 5 or 6 days where a few of the habits I've kept up because I wanted to keep them up. But the ones I like wasn't intentionally trying to do, I let drop off. And then you probably have that general feeling where I'm like, oh, I kind of miss something like that. So I tried to put some new structure in.
Yeah.
But you do miss it, which I can see why people become like challenge junkies.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like prepping for a show.
Yeah.
It's like I'm out of prep, in prep. Out of prep, in prep. Weighing everything, measuring everything, on point, savage, training all the time, eating like a fat cunt, doing nothing. You know, so so you built your own next challenge?
Yeah. But I definitely, the diet went off the rails a bit when I first finished that high five.
What'd you do?
Well, I've been so strict for so long. So I hadn't eaten like any, so all those
Lots of toast.
Oh, every meal. Every meal. I just got my phone out. I was like,
side of toast. Side of toast with everything.
So I pretty much had bread every single meal for like 3 days. Then I got over it at that point.
Yeah.
But also because I told so many people, they're like, oh, you can eat this now. I'm like, yeah, it's true. Like, perfect timing.
Yeah.
So a bit off rails, but now I'm getting it back on track.
The main thing I just enjoyed was, man, a piccolo coffee. Because I restricted myself from having my favorite coffee. Because, you know, the other things you don't eat on a regular basis. You don't eat burgers on a regular basis. You don't, like, you know, drink milkshakes and, you know, all this sort of stuff. So that you just kind of have that one-off anyway. Mm. It's the... And that's the same for alcohol, right? Because it's so infrequent for us. I'm like, take it or leave it. I don't really care. It's not a daily thing for
me. Yeah,
alcohol
didn't make a difference.
I don't think to myself, oh, I could really use a drink right now. So many people are like that. They can't wait to go for a drink. It's not a part of our routine, so I don't miss it at all. But it's the things that I had to take out on a daily basis, like the coffee. And getting that back in, that was probably the most enjoyable. Because now I enjoy the most enjoyable part of my day more.
Yeah,
makes you appreciate
that, it also makes me realize why it's so hard for people that really enjoy alcohol to give it up.
Yeah.
I've had a few clients like fail on some challenges recently. They were trying to cut it out as well. And when it's like your daily routine, you love it and it's like the best thing of your day.
Yeah.
It is really, really hard to cut it out.
Yeah. Man, 75 hard for certain people is just, it's near impossible.
Yeah, it's excruciating.
Yeah. It's near. That's why when he says this will be the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life, I'm like, not really. But then
for some people,
I realize in the context of someone who never works out, is really overweight, you know, never reads a book, like you, it would be absolutely life-changing. Mm. I mean, I felt like it was life-changing for me anyway, but for other people, next level.
For someone that, you know, would never complete two or three of those things on a day,
yeah,
it's near impossible.
But I guess it's just like, it's in a way, it's they're just trying to get up to, you know, I was having this conversation with our clients, right? You know, they go, oh, I don't know if I ever want to look like you guys. Mm. And I go, well, would you like to if it was easy? They go, yeah. And I go, well, they said yes. And I said, okay, well, there's different levels to everything. So you just need to sacrifice and change things to a certain level that you're happy with and then decide if you want to sacrifice more to get to the next level. Because I know if I want to get to the next level of where I am now, there's just more sacrifice, more changes I need to make that I'm not willing to make because it's going to disrupt the whole balance of my life. So really, they're just trying to get to certain levels. And for some people, they don't have any of those habits. They're trying to get to level one. They're like level, I don't know, -100, and they're just trying to get to level one. And getting, but we've been on level one our whole lives. You know, we played sport, we trained, we've always eaten well. You know, we're going outdoors. That's not that hard. We're on level, I don't know, 25, right? Maybe it goes up to like level 40. And so really for us, you know, maybe 75 hard is like level 30. Mm. You know, and we're going from 25 to 30. Some people are trying to go from -100 to 30. Yeah. Like it's a lot of levels to go up really quickly. Really, really quickly.
But I think the truth is, I think the harder 75 hard is for you, the more of a transformation you get from it.
Exactly.
That's the reality.
Yeah.
If it's incrementally hard for you, you just get an incremental benefit.
I guess what I'm saying is we can't get that big of a transformation because we're already so far up the levels.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like people that already run super fast, if they do a really good running program, they're going to run a little bit faster, but they're already fast. But someone who's like never run in their life, they do a really good running program, they're going to be fucking flying at the end of it.
That's why those corporate fire programs, I think, get crazy results. Because they get people where it's such a transformation for them.
Yeah, they've like never done anything. Mm. Yeah. No, it's interesting. Last night I was watching this movie, Benjamin Button. A few people have seen it. Basically, Brad Pitt starts off as like an old man and he like ages backwards. And it like had me thinking about like fitness and training, right? Because basically, with training, to get good, to be like a professional athlete, because Ev was like, oh, would you like to age backwards? And I was like, well, no, it's awful because there's only like, you can only relate to people because we're social animals, right? You want to relate to people for a long time, but you can only relate to people for like a very, like the middle period of your life. And then everything's fucked because now you're like this, now you have an old mind, but you're hanging out with kids, right? Or like you're a kid, you've got a kid's mind, but you're hanging out with old people. So it doesn't really work on either end of the spectrum, but in the middle it works, right? So you get less of your life to enjoy with more people. She's like, okay, well, what if everyone aged backwards? I was like, okay, well, then it doesn't really matter because it's the same thing anyway. But it made me think about it with sports, right? So do you think that if you were aging the other way, you would become a better athlete?
Yeah, I've had this exact discussion before.
About the movie?
Yep. Benjamin Button would make the world such a better place for sports. It would be so much better. The problem with sports is that it's wasted on the young.
Mm.
If you think about it, right, we wouldn't have like athletes going off the rails and doing this shit. It's just because they're so young. They're in their 20s is your prime. If you were born at 100 and 73 years later, you hit your peak in sports, that would be the ideal. That would be so good. You would be so wise. You know, you'd like the ego sort of dropped. You're like, man, I'm just ready to hit it. You know, I'm just...
been waiting for so long.
Yeah. I've been through everything. I've been playing this ball for 73 years now.
Yeah.
I am at my peak. I'm at the Olympics. I'm not like going to go off crazy, have sex with everyone after like the athlete village. You know, I've got grown-up children.
Yeah. I've got 7 kids.
It would be better. And I think athletically it would be better as well because you'd have so long of gradual improvement where you gradually get better and you also get younger. So it would just be like better and better and better and taking on more volume really rather than the opposite.
Yeah.
Where like for most people's athletic life, they're getting older.
Yeah.
Unless they play sports when they're young. When you kind of rapidly get... It's kind of weird because you rapidly get better and then you've got a peak and then it's slowly getting worse for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So athletically... No, I think it'd be way better. It's wasted on the young.
I just think it would, but I think also it would depend on the sport. Because thinking about getting strong, right? Thinking about strength sports, you get better the older you get. So I was like, I think in most sports, it's good. But imagine going from like, you know, being Eddie Hall. Like think how long it took him to get strong, right? So if you started getting, if you were trying to get stronger, but your body was getting smaller and lighter and faster.
You have to retire.
Yeah. But if it was soccer, it would be way better, right?
Yeah.
You know, if it's like a speed sport or like a skill sport, because then you're moving into a younger body that's fresher with less injuries and it's faster and you've got the skills to go with it, perfect. But like you're kind of getting weaker going backwards. You know what I mean?
The retirement speeches would be weird.
Yeah. It would be. Like a little kid.
Child there.
I've had a great career.
You'd be like, because Roger Federer would be like the 10-year-old still out there. Like, dude, you're so small and young. You just need to become a ball boy now. He's like, no, I'm still a
ball boy. A ball boy. You know, Roger Federer started really late in tennis. Started like 16.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it goes so long.
I was talking to one of the boys this morning and he was talking about this book he was reading at the moment and I haven't got the name of the book, unfortunately. And I think some people know. I think it's called, might be called Range.
Hmm.
Might be called Range. And he talks about whether it's better to be... breadth of experience or depth of experience. So one of the examples in the book is Tiger Woods versus Roger Federer. Tiger only did golf.
Yeah.
Nothing else, right? Obviously became number one. Roger Federer started tennis around 16, but all the stuff he did before it, loads of other different sports. And they're saying, like, did that carry over to give him more athleticism for the sport of tennis and make him better at tennis? And it's always an interesting discussion, right?
My understanding was that breadth is generally better.
That's what I would say. That's what I would say. But the book obviously like is making comparing different examples at different points. I think it's a combination of both, right?
Yeah.
I think it's breadth up until a certain point and it's not black or white, and then it's depth up to another point. It's like, okay, as much breadth as possible from, you know, 2 years old to say 15, and then what sport have we found are you really good at? Cool. Massive depth on that. Keeping some elements of the breadth in it. Like Lomachenko, one of the best boxers of all time, he did ballet up until he was like, his dad didn't let him box till he's a little bit older. He's like, no, you have to do ballet for footwork.
But then Floyd Mayweather, I think, is depth.
He's depth.
Yeah, he's depth.
Only did boxing.
Only did boxing.
And you could argue he's probably the best ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting.
Clearly both can work.
Yeah.
But breadth is better because 99.9% of people don't actually become that good.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't have wasted your time doing one sport.
Well, breadth is better, I think, for injury prevention.
Yeah. And you also... can find the sport you're actually good at.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I also reckon breadth is good because most of us will never make it as professional athletes. And therefore, when you're later on in adult life, I've seen, you know, when it just comes to just being active, you know, I see people that had depth versus people that had breadth. People have breadth, like myself, way better off.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's go skateboarding. Let's go surfing. Let's go kick a ball. Let's throw a ball. Let's hit a ball, you know. If someone's only done one sport...
Yeah, I just swam. Yeah. I was like, I can't catch.
Yeah, can't do anything, you know? Ev, you know? All she did was gymnastics. Yeah. No other sport. Can't kick a ball, can't play tennis, can't... We can't play any sports together because she just can't do it, right? But if we want to do handstand training together, she'll smash me.
Yeah.
So it's like, later on... It's almost like breadth is better for like longevity.
For nearly everybody.
Depth is like, you know, a good formula for, you know, professional athlete. That's interesting. It's very interesting. But yeah, that's what I was thinking about when I was watching Benjamin Button. Sad movie.
Yeah, it is.
Fuck depressing. Mm. Yeah, I will not watch it again. Speaking of the changing traits, so I was started reading Relentless by Tim Grover. Have you read that book?
No, but he's on like the trail right now about talking about it, so I see it everywhere.
Yeah, because he's got his new book out.
That's what I think. Oh, I've listened to the audio book of his old one. Where he's talking about
Relentless.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, yeah,
I have heard.
I think it's pretty much the same thing, right? Okay. I think it's the same thing, maybe rewritten. But what was interesting is he's talking about. So there's three types of people he talks about. It's coolers, closers, and cleaners. And it's like basically your level of like savageness, right? And a cleaner is like a Michael Jordan, right? Yeah. Basically like step on people's throats, then give a fuck. Like you don't praise anyone, you don't praise yourself, you like just get the job done. And it made me think, because I was having a discussion with someone on Instagram, I posted it, and then he said something like, bro, I'm like, I was reading it and I'm like a really chill guy, and I was like, I have no, like it just didn't resonate with me at all. And he's like, but I'm hoping it'll like change my perspective and I'll change a little bit. And then I was like, oh man, I feel like being a cleaner to some extent is like you either have it or you don't. And then he was like, oh, isn't that like a limited mindset a little bit, like a fixed mindset about being a cleaner? And I don't know, I just thought I'd hash it out and discuss it. And I felt like there are just some things in life, no matter how much you feel like you can change your mindset on it, you just, it's just not in you, you just don't have it. It's like some people that, I don't know, I feel like, let's take an extreme example, right? Say you're going to war. Right, some people never been to war before, right? Give him a pistol and someone walks up to him and be like, you have to shoot that guy in the head. He's like a prisoner, right? Mm. He's kneeling on the ground. He's like head up against the wall. He's like fucking whimpering and shit. He's got photos of his kids lying on the ground. And your captain's like, this guy fucking is, I don't know, some head of some terrorist organization or whatever. You need to put a bullet in the back of his head. You know, no one's ever experienced war, but some people would just pick up the gun, shoot him in the back of the head, and they'll just be like, oh, that wasn't that bad.
Mm.
Most people will be like, bro, that's fucked up. Like, I can't do that shit. Yeah. Are you crazy? Like, I don't... And then you just... I feel like that's an almost like it's a fixed thing to be able to just take that gun, pop someone, and then just walk off. That's kind of how I feel like the cleaner is. It's just like so ruthless to the level that you just don't give a fuck about anyone else. So, but also, he talks about... Tim talks about cleaners being having it in some areas of their life, but not in other areas of your life. So, you're not... You might be a really good father at home and really good with your kids, but then when you step onto the court, you know, really just ready to just kill people. So, do you think it's something? Do you feel like something like that is a learned trait, that savageness, or do you think it's just inherent?
No, I think there's definitely a genetic profile for it.
Yeah, I think so.
It's like those kids. Like, some kids are like, what do you do in spare time? Oh, I like pull limbs off insects. It's fucking clean.
Burn ants alive.
Yeah, some kids are like, you know, playing with like the dolls and shit. Like, there's differences. Yeah, that I think is early on.
I don't think you're necessarily born with it. It's not genetic, but I think like the pivotal years of development that you can never get back, the very formative years, some kids are just brought up in certain environments that just make them savage. You know, look at like a John Jones. Like, the dude is unapologetically savage. It's like, I spent all night with strippers and hookers and doing cocaine, and I'm here to fight you today. And I'm going to beat you. It's like some guys just don't process it like that. You know, they can't do that. Yeah. There's just no way under any circumstance they can do that. Like, no, I need all my food dialed in. I need this. We just are different. We think differently. Yes, there are commonalities. And yes, there are traits that I feel like you can work on and get better at. But there's just some stuff that's like, you're just not that person. Yeah, like,
at least not to the extent.
No.
Because I'm sure there's like different ranges of them, right?
Yeah.
Michael Jordan being on the extreme end. Yeah, definitely, yeah. You're not going to hit that extreme.
No. There's extreme CEOs, business people, right? And then there's less extreme CEOs. And obviously, we'll get to one as well for the program for today. But yeah, it is interesting. So tell me, what happened with your knee?
Man, I haven't heard it for a very long time. I think it might have been the accumulation of 75 hard finally did it to me. But anyway, yeah, it was like one day, all of a sudden, heard it again, which I haven't heard for a very, very long time. I think partly because we have no barbells in the gym, which has been outstanding for it. Not too bad. But I did hurt it again, which is a bit frustrating because, you know, listeners know we've had knee pain for a very long time.
It must be pretty bad for you to start talking about.
Probably like hurt like a 7 out of 10 on the day.
Yeah. Oh, it was an acute injury.
Yeah, just hurt all of a sudden, which is annoying, right? I talk to clients all the time about how you get over injuries. So I was like pretty ready for it. And because I don't have like any event on the calendar, I was like, oh, I'm not too stressed about this. I was thinking about how I can fix it. So, kind of look back on what worked in the past. I have tried so many things. I was like, I've done quite a bit of the knees over toes stuff recently. It didn't I didn't really have any knee pain, so it didn't really make anything better or worse. It just kind of did not much for it. But I was like, oh, cool. We're doing a lot of this at the gym. We give it to a lot of clients. I'll give it a go for, like, I think it'll take at least 10, 12 weeks. So I committed to doing the program. I've done 1 week of it. Thankfully, none of it really hurts my knee.
Okay.
Which is probably the best part. A little bit on
what
some of the days.
What does hurt your knee?
For those 3 days, most things were hurting my knee. And now it's like, yeah, probably squatting would hurt my knee. Kneeling hurts my knee. Just like, mostly probably just sitting for a long period of time.
Oh, yeah.
Then sitting, you get up and sitting fucking kills. Gets you, yeah, hey. It's probably the worst. Sitting. Movement, actually not too bad.
Yeah.
It's more like lack of movement,
yeah.
which is the worst. And this thing is so many people are doing the program and we give some of it to clients. It's like, oh, I should just try it out myself, see if it can make it better. It's way more stretching than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
It's mostly I didn't really realize.
Yeah.
It's like fucking 3/4 of the time just stretching. So hopefully that sees the improvement. Good, yeah, good part is I can do nearly all the exercises straight away from the outset, which is usually an issue with those types of programs. But I will give an update on how I find the program. I thought I was like, oh, maybe it's not for me because I was like pretty strong at most of the exercises already. But then when I got into it, I was like, oh, no, nah, most of these I'm like pretty average at.
Yeah.
So hopefully there's room for improvement in there.
Yeah, it's hard to be good at all those movements because they're so different. The speaking of like injuring yourself, I did a workout. Sonny popped in for a random workout with me. He wrote GHC sit-ups in the workout. I was like, yeah, I'll be really sensible here. Yeah. It was 4 rounds of 15, so 60 total. It's not that much volume.
No,
and I was going to parallel. Mm. So I wasn't even going all the way down because I'm like, oh, it's that big stretch and that big whip up that makes you really sore. But I had like a stomachache on Friday. I was like, oh. And I did them on Thursday night. Yeah. I was like, oh, it's weird. I was sitting at our client lunch and I'm like, man, I've got like really bad stomach pains. It was just the dons.
That's it. Done.
It's thing. Because that's what you said you had, right?
Yeah.
That's what made me think about it.
No, I was taking Panadols and Nurofen.
Yeah. Yeah, because you think like you have a stomachache.
I thought I was going to throw up.
Yeah, yeah. I thought like the food was off. Yeah, I thought the food was off because I was like, oh man, I'm not digesting my food well. And then I was like, oh, maybe it's because it comes just before the DOMS I found. The really bad DOMS hadn't hit yet. It was like this early onset like stomach pain.
It's
all the inflammation, I think, around the vital organs. It's a fucking shit exercise. It's a shit exercise. I don't know why people do it.
It truly is.
It's so dumb. Oh my God, I'm still sore. Like today I was doing a rowing workout. Couldn't lean back on the roll. It's been like 3 days.
Yeah. You either do them all the time or you just never fucking do them.
Yeah, yeah. And
those are your two choices.
Man, they're absolutely brutal. They have to be the most dangerous exercise for your abs. Yeah.
That and throwing up.
That's how you put someone in hospital, right? That's guaranteed. If someone was like, okay, this is someone I really hate, I want you to actually damage them, put them in hospital, I would go, okay.
Yeah, it's got 200 for time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I would just go GHC sit-ups, 300 for time, 1 hour cap. Oh man! And especially when you get the real, you get the bit of a rhythm going, you're kind of like falling back, and you snap up really hard.
I'm getting good at these.
Yeah, like, I'm feeling good. Yeah, it's not good. Warning: do not do too many GHC sit-ups. Anyway, all right. So, last thing before we jump into the listener questions, I actually put up a post yesterday asking about. I just had a random idea. I was thinking. One, the Fitness Expo hasn't been on this year for obvious reasons in Australia. It's a really good event if you just like, you know, the zoo, which is the fitness industry. And then two, as I was actually retelling a story at dinner, actually my first drink in 100 days, I was retelling the story of our gym ownership in Miami from a few years ago. And I was thinking to myself how fun that trip was. I mean, obviously we were in Miami, so it was a lot of fun. But... you know, that event that brought so many gym owners together was, I think it could have been done a lot better, but it was still really fun because it was just a specific type of industry and a specific type of person in that room. And I thought, there's no reason why we can't. We have basically the most gym owners in Australia listen to this podcast. And I was like, you guys deserve something fun, like an event to look forward to. And I thought, what are some of the things that I really dislike about events? And one of the main things I dislike about events is that people sell from stage. If you've ever been to one of these like headline events, like Gary Vee, you know, Gary Vee and you know a couple other people, but you go to this event, it's like an all-day event, and Gary Vee comes on at the end for 30 minutes. Gary Vee doesn't sell from stage. He just like tells stories, answers questions, and just does his thing. But every single person before him has some massive long pitch and some story, and then eventually they try and get you to buy something. I hate that. It's fucking annoying, and it's stupid.
Yeah, it's like you've been tricked into the event.
Yeah, and it's just a waste of your money. It's a waste of your time. And I've been gypped before. Man, I fucking signed up once for a $200 write your own book course, and then it got you to the next course. I gave up one of my clients' weddings to go to this course, right? And this guy's in this room of everyone else who's paid $200. So I go to the speaking event with like 500 people. This guy is like, I have the secret to like marketing. It's like, you have to write a book. And I was like, awesome, I'm going to learn how to write a book. He's like, there's like a special formula to it. There's like a process, and it's like the best marketing tool you ever have, and no one else has a book, and it's going to really separate you. I'm like, that'd be sick. Imagine like a gym owner with like a number one best-selling book. I go to his event. It's probably like the event was like a week later. I reckon there was maybe like 50 people in the room. And then there's another pitch that the pitch goes all day, and then he finally drops $50,000. I'll write the book for you. And I was like,
what?
I gave up 2 days. I've already given this guy $200, and now he's pitched me. The only way I can do this book is if I pay him $50,000. I can't believe I never told you this story. Yeah, it's absolutely brutal. Yeah, he writes the book for you.
Wow.
Like, you give him the dot points, yeah, but they write the book for you. And I was like, this is absolutely stupid.
And then you have your book.
Anyway, so I've been there, been ripped off. And I was like, what if that was just a sick event? You went there, no one pitched you from stage. Like, obviously, these people have businesses and there's stuff you can buy from them, but they're not selling it to you. They are just delivering mad value for you as a gym owner, stuff that you can implement. You know, I'm talking about amazing guests that we've had on this show before. Say people like Sarah Liz King, stuff you talk about eating disorders, how you can coach your clients. You could have guys like Sonny Webster talks about like how to build a social media following and stuff like that. You could have Sean, founder of MPE, he could tell you about like gym structures, gym businesses. Peter Hull, he could tell you about like franchising and growing gyms and just really good value, like keynote speakers. And it wouldn't be super long. We'd just make it fun. Like, no one wants to sit there all day. We could fucking do like a burpee workout or something. We'd sit in a room and then do like a little VIP dinner for anyone that wants to pay a bit more, and then sit around the table with us and the keynote speakers and just have a really nice dinner and then have an after party. Mm. And just like, you know, at the end of the day, I think what I realized about a lot of gym owners is they don't always get some really good downtime, because they're always kind of like thinking about the clients.
But they're keen for it.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're fucking keen.
And they deserve it, man. You deserve to have fun and enjoy yourself. So I thought we'd do like a really cool like annual gym owners event. And I had like over 100 of you say yes to going to an event like that. So we might put something together that people would be interested in. So
if you have experience in running events and you're Sydney based as well, you can reach out and we can get some advice or talk about what could work this year.
Yeah. I mean, we've run events before, but right now it's just not a priority for us. Mm. But we think we could pull off something really good. So yeah, if you're in the events industry, like Raph said, and you're looking for some extra work, we can definitely get talking.
There's got to be some empty event halls out there. Fuck.
Oh yeah, empty event halls and just event businesses that have just gone missing. So yeah, if you're one of those people, please definitely reach out. All right, we're going to jump into the listener questions for today. But before we do, we don't want to talk about a company that we supply in our gym now, and that is Blackroll. They're the most premium foam rollers. It actually blows your mind. When you pick them up, you think, how can something this light be this dense? But it can, and it's actually pretty incredible. So what these foam rollers do is they look amazing, well, firstly, number one, and they just have like a different level of pressure that works really well to kind of release tissues and move the body around and get the desired effect, whereas some things are like too hard, some foam rollers are too soft, and you don't really get the desired effect that you need to get the most benefit from foam rolling. So our suggestion to you guys is definitely go check it out. MyMuscleProject.com/Blackroll. You can pick up their premium foam rollers. They're German made, German engineered. So they are amazing and they're great products.
I saw this PT going to the park and he was training clients in the park and he had like two Blackrolls. Like, oh, it's perfect for that.
Nice.
Because I was like, oh, it's so light. Mm. So you can just carry it to your outdoor sessions.
That's true. That is true. And they've got loads of other products on there as well, like bands and stuff. So definitely, guys, go check that out. Okay.
First question, the Dylan Wright. He has dietary recommendations for climbers to stay light but still have energy and strength.
Yeah, okay. So climbers, that'd be like rock climbers?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, obviously, like being light is super important. I mean, first of all, you've got to look at the demands of the sport, right? Sport is aerobic. It's like aerobic strength, like... It's like pretty much aerobic with like bits of strength.
Yeah, I think there's anaerobic versions of climbing, like bouldering and like speed. Like, have you seen them? They're so quick, like speed climbing. Yeah. And then there's definitely aerobic, which is like fucking that solo dude up the mountain.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the best way to do this is just take your body weight. Usually climbers are pretty lean. Mm. So it'd be your body weight. If you can get your body fat percentage, that'd be great. But you want to find your maintenance calories, essentially. If you haven't put on weight for a while, then you're probably eating your maintenance calories. So figure out everything you're eating now. And then for energy, you just want to optimize what you can do to maintain your weight. So, for example, say you're maintaining at 2,000 calories, but maybe those 2,000 calories, you're having like 35 grams of protein, 400 grams of carbs, and 10 grams of fat. Okay, let's just call it something like that.
Normally, climbers eat terribly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what you want to do is you want to basically change those macros to like the most optimal macros. Mm. And to go most optimal, you want to start with protein, right? Because you want to be as lean as possible. You want to maintain as much muscle mass, improve your recovery. So you want to get your protein dialed in first. And your protein, you're generally looking at 0.6 to 1 grams per pound of body weight. So if you're a 200-pound guy, that's somewhere between 140 grams to 200 grams of protein. From there, work back. Are you more of a carb person? Do you prefer mostly carb foods, or do you prefer mostly fat-based foods? Do you like lots of butters and oils and avocados, or do you put more breads and pastas and fruits and whatever suits best for you? Because it's everyone's different, everyone's individual, but build from there. So build from your maintenance calories, build from protein, play around with the carbs and fats to give you the most energy, and really try and push those calories up as high as possible without gaining weight. And of course, to lose weight, you would just obviously pull back some of those calories.
And this is, carry on to that question, different person. Tom Spence, it's kind of the opposite. I'm skinny fat and want to put on muscle and lose fat. Deficit, surplus, or maintenance?
That's a good question.
It's actually a good question, yeah.
It just depends what's more important to you right now, because you can go either way and get benefit. Obviously, if you're skinny fat, then you're optimizing your body composition regardless. You're either gaining muscle mass and not getting as lean, but that's still improving your body composition, or you're getting really lean and getting rid of that excess body fat that you don't want.
Yeah.
And then you can later put on some more muscle mass. So I guess it depends on the look you kind of want. I think that's really what it comes down to. What's more important to you?
Probably also just really depends on the time horizon you're looking at this. So if you're looking at really short-term fixed mindset, obviously deficit makes it look the best the quickest.
Yeah.
But I think if you can take a longer-term mindset towards your fitness, a maintenance or a surplus could work better. Because in maintenance, you could slowly alter the way you look, right? If you're skinny fat going into this. But if you don't have much muscle, yeah, you could do a deficit. You're still probably not going to look very good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It is interesting. It's exactly what we said. You got to pick what's going to be best for you.
Okay. Next question is Peter Mark Stoker. Should your body fat percentage even come into consideration if you are healthy and you're fit? You have a sub 2-hour half marathon. I thought he said marathon. I was like, that's crazy. Elliot's got a question here. Kipchoge's asked a question. No, half marathon, 200-kilo squat, and a 3-minute and 8-second 1-kilometer row. Which is very fast, 1 kilometer. Right?
That is fast.
It's a big guy.
That's quick. How heavy is he?
Doesn't say. No, he doesn't say. But he's asking if his body fat should even come into consideration. Man, if you are happy with how you look, no. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Is he asking, should I get a bit more fat or get a bit leaner to run faster?
He's asking, should you even worry about your body fat if you're healthy and you're fit and you have these sort of numbers?
Oh, okay. Those are just numbers.
Yeah, it's like, I'm healthy and I'm fit and I have these sort of numbers. Should I worry about my body fat percentage?
Yeah, no, I don't really think so. I mean, unless it seems like you're quite fat and maybe, you know, because, I mean, maybe you could be pretty fat and still have those numbers.
Definitely can be.
Yeah.
We've seen it before.
Yeah. I wouldn't be too concerned about being too lean. I mean, it's obviously not hugely concerning. I mean, it can be, but you can't live in that very lean state for very long anyway. But you can be too fat but still be, you know, because there are some people that we've known throughout our life that do some pretty cool things and decent numbers, but they're too heavy. Like, they do need to get a bit lighter. It's like UFC fighters in heavier weight classes. Like, look, just being lazy with your diet, you should be a bit leaner to fight. You know, you should go down a few weight classes and be a bit leaner. That being said, how fat patterns itself on your body can make you look like, you know, you can be a guy at 20% body fat and still have abs.
Yeah.
But you can be a guy at 15% body fat and have no abs. And it can make you feel like, oh, well, maybe I should be leaner. But you might have less body fat than someone else. So it depends how it moves and distributes itself around your torso and your stomach and your limbs. And like you said, it just depends if you're happy with how you look or not. But yeah, likely if you're not overly fat, then I wouldn't be too concerned.
Yeah. Yeah. You just got to think about why you're not happy with it.
Are you spending too much time on Instagram looking at fucking genetic freaks?
Okay. Kevin Pediatrician. He's wondering if we've ever ever done ourselves or ever worked with people who have had to quit coffee or caffeine. He's noticed two small missing patches in his beard, along with some gut instinct and a bit of research. He's feeling that a decade-long of addiction is finally starting to turn on him.
Of coffee?
Yeah. Coffee crept up as being such a large part of my life. It's a ritual, comfortable, and while I was a ski bum, it was my job as I was a barista for years. I would feel as though I could greatly benefit from taking time away from it, but I can already sense the struggle.
Okay.
And then he gave us an update.
Oh, he added to his question.
Yeah, he gave us an update. Currently down to one cup in the morning. It's crazy. At around one yesterday, I could barely stay awake, and at work, it was brutal. That's usually when I go for my second or third. That's basically, then he complains more and more.
So he's got his main warning signs. He's got some gut issues and he's got patches in his beard.
Yeah. Yeah. And he said he was having two or three cups a day, but also two scoops of a pre-workout, which was 160 milligrams per scoop.
Oh, shit. Fuck. So he's having like...
He's having a lot.
Yeah. He's having like eight.
So I can he's having, yeah, 320 plus three. He's at like half a gram more.
You're gonna have
caffeine a lot.
Anytime you start having that much stimulants, you're gonna get some issues.
That's abuse.
If you've had it for a long time, though, obviously your tolerance is super high. Mm. But no, if you're going that long without, like today, I had a really weak coffee in the morning. That was it the whole day. Do I have more normally? Yeah, sure. But did it ruin my day having like a tiny coffee? I didn't even have a barista made coffee. I just made something really quick. No, I could happily go without it. And that's where you want to be. You don't want to have something controlling you, like you have to have it. That's when you know you're in a bad position, right? So obviously outside of, you know, food and water, there are some things you just don't want to have to have. Mm. And so I really think at that point, you know, all the extra stuff that's going on top of it, man, you're going to have some issues drinking that much caffeine. I don't know if it's related to your gut or your patches in your beard, but that's going to affect your sleep. That's going to affect your hydration. That's going to affect your quality of training. That's going to affect your mood. So it's all kind of connected, you know? So I think that, you know, by drinking so much coffee, you're probably not getting as good a sleep, right? So is it your sleep? Yeah, it could be your sleep as well. And then by drinking so much, you know, caffeine, you're probably also not drinking enough water. Could it be the water? Yeah, it could be the water as well. So it's kind of like a yes to all these situations. I think you're on the right track. I think when you're asking this question, at this point, you kind of know,
yeah,
you know the answer.
Yeah. I really think it's the pre-workouts is what you need to avoid, because if he was just having coffee, he wouldn't have that much. He wouldn't have, you know, it really sends it into the stratosphere.
I don't think numbers. You know how many fucking coffees baristas have.
But I mean, this dude's had three. He's probably not going to go for another nine that day. But he can easily have two scoops of pre-workout in the afternoon.
Yeah,
so for
him, it's so concentrated.
Yeah, it's taking him to the absolute next level. And the downside when you have too much is that you also stop feeling any of the benefits from it. So you do lose a bit of the enjoyment as well, I think. That's why it is better when you can keep it like... whatever, 200 and less, 150 and less, depending on the person.
Yeah.
Obviously, it depends. But when you get too high, I think you get a lot of the downsides and not many of the upsides anymore.
Yeah. You're just using it to come back to baseline.
Yeah.
Just to feel normal. And that's not good.
Last question. AJ Phillips, long-time listener to the show. What exercise or movement really sheds the weight off you? For me, it's running. It seems we've never progressed into my workouts, but I appear to come leaner as soon as I start running.
Yeah. I mean, it's not... Okay, this is interesting because like we use the Whoop to sometimes judge these things. But yeah, there are certain exercises that people do that burn more calories and is harder for their body to do, or for whatever reason just gets the machine going a lot harder than other exercises. Like if I do a lot of squats, I know for sure my body is working harder than if I'm doing a lot of deadlifts. So like my deadlift tolerance is way higher than my squat tolerance, right? For just loads of different reasons, which is why, I don't know, my swimming tolerance, like if you and I went for a swim, you would burn a shitload more calories than I would burn. You know, if we went for a run, I burn way more calories than you do for a run. So it's just different for everyone. And you may have found now that running is that movement for you, but for someone else, it might be something else.
That it definitely is a thing like that. You know, even in the gym, I think what you find is that talking to a client, he's just done like chest and back, a normal routine for so long. That type of routine burns so few calories for him now. He's done it for so long. He goes running, it's like through the roof. Yeah. Even just tying his shoes on, his heart rate is like spiking. Yeah, yeah. Right? And so it's something that is really common. It probably depends how heavy you are as well. But you likely can find, hey, I want to lose some weight. I always know I start running, it just falls off. That is actually a thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And then, like you said, right, people will know what it is. Is that it? Done. Cool. Okay, so guys, before we jump into our review of Wall Street, WHA, Mark Wahlberg, Wall Street, we're going to talk to you about actually something really exciting that True Protein is doing. So from the 8th of June to Monday the 14th, you basically, it may have a chance to extend, but basically what you'll have is, and True doesn't really do this very often, which is what happens with premium brands, but True will be doing a end of financial year sale on all their products where you can get up to 70% off. And that'll give you an idea we usually get you guys a discount of 10% off. So for some of the products, up to 70% off.
It's absolutely stupid.
The entire range is on sale, so every product is going to have some kind of discount. And yeah, so obviously there's a bunch of different special offers as well in there with your purchases. So I don't know, if you order a certain amount of dollars or supplements, like they'll throw in bonus stuff and shakers and all that sort of stuff for you. And just remember, guys, True very rarely does this. Okay, so they absolutely, this is absolutely the best time to stock up. So if I was you, I would be getting on the True website and I'll be stocking up as much as possible. If you're getting 70% off some of your favorite products, like, go nuts, because it doesn't expire.
You know, as well, this is a true gift if you're in America, because you can now order True Protein in America and it's not even the end of your financial year.
Yeah, it's true.
And you still get this deal.
It's true. It's true. When is their financial year?
It's just the calendar year.
Calendar year. Yeah, that's
fine. Makes more sense.
Wait, makes way more sense. All right, so guys, make sure you check it out. Just go for this one. Just go to trueprotein.com.au for our usual code, themindmuscleproject.com/trueprotein to check it out. You guys don't need to hear it again. They are the best supplements on planet Earth. All right. So,
Wall Street.
Wall Street. Who got you onto this?
Our business coach, Sean Greeley.
Right.
Saying, hey, he wants all the gym owners to watch this really important documentary.
Is that what he actually said?
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah, he said, if you're wondering where you can watch this, it's on Binge and Foxtel in Australia.
I think it's HBO in
Amazon.
America.
Yeah, and it's an HBO show. It's definitely HBO. It's made by
wherever
HBO.
You watch HBO shows.
And it's basically Mark Wahlberg juggles the demands of a crazy film schedule and an ever-growing network of diverse business interests, including clothing lines, gyms, studios, restaurants, production company, so many things.
Yeah, like one of his obviously most famous purchases in recent years is F-45.
Yeah.
Right?
So which actually features heavily in this documentary.
So, it's really interesting. I mean, look, I haven't heard the best things about Mark's personality and his, you know, how he acts and his ethics and stuff. But put that aside, what the man achieves and what he represents, I still love him for it. Even if he treated me like shit, I would still have an immense respect for him, because the stuff that he gets done and what he does, you simply are just a savage high-level guy to do that sort of thing. You know, he transitioned from the underwear model. I think he was like rapper and then underwear model. Yeah, he's Marky Mark. And then he was, you know, now he's acting and then, you know, businessman. So a super impressive guy, you know, super, super impressive. He's very rock-like in his ventures.
Yeah, it actually is cool. And what you see in the documentary is that it would be so easy for him to just keep doing the stuff that he's good at, and he is making effort to like try and do this business stuff, and it's like really a huge challenge for him,
right? Because the business side of things,
even if you're a superstar, it's still hard.
Yeah
His businesses, you know, you can jump on F45 still has problems.
Oh yeah,
still has COVID.
Yeah,
still has competitors that you know, get cooler than you, even when you are like the coolest guy on the planet.
Yeah.
So that is a good reminder for everyone. Like, man, if it's like half of him, it's gonna be half of anyone, right? Because you would imagine if you were him, you just like put your name in a business, it's done, like it's over.
Yeah, no.
And it's not the case, right? It still is a challenge. Obviously, it's a leg up, but it still is a challenge.
What would you think Sean's intention of getting all gym owners to watch this was, like, inspiration? Do you think?
Yeah, I think it's inspiration. Yeah. And I think probably a bit part of that, because I think that was a big message of the show, is that, man, it's like still really hard. Business is still hard, even when you're Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, yeah. No, business is, I think that's what people always forget. Like, I was having a conversation the other day in here with you weren't actually at this interview, with Jade Spooner, and she's like very successful entrepreneur in Australia. And you know, we were talking about how shiny object syndrome, like people jump from this thing to the next thing. Oh, well, I need a clothing line and I need this and I need that. And it's like, you never actually run a business and get good at it long enough to have all the skills that you require, because business has different levels, right? So, you know, when you play at level one, so many people are playing at level one with you. And then when you get to level two, even less people are playing, because so many people drop out level one. Level three, same thing, right? And then level four, five, six, and this happens over a period of years and years and years. And if you constantly jump to the next thing, then what you do is you never actually learn just the whole business level system. So in order to get from level four to five, like, you have to be in a business for like 10 years, right? I'm just making up numbers right now. But I think what people don't appreciate is that, you know, and Mark probably is appreciating this now, but it's not easy. You jump in, you think like, oh man, I got this. Like, I'm Mark Wahlberg. I got all this money. I got this, that. But he's starting at level one. Like, he's a level one business. I mean, not now, obviously, but when he jumped into his first investment, he was probably like, oh shit, I didn't know that's how business worked. I didn't know this is like, this was the thing here, this was the thing there. And then obviously, as you buy up more businesses and you've been doing it longer, you have more skills to use and transfer across to different businesses. And I think just, when people look, it's like a very exponential thing. Like, there's no way he could be running as many businesses as he's running now 15 years ago. Like even that girl was saying, like his PA was like, yeah, I feel like it's getting busier and busier every year. I'm like, because success breeds success. Once you get more skills and you get ahead of everyone else, it's easier to stay ahead and get even more ahead. But getting out of that is tough.
And watching as well, I was thinking, I think we will see this more and more where you get, obviously celebrities have often been in really good shape. They obviously look good. It's part of the reason they're a celebrity. And they're going to put their name to fitness brands more often. You know, you can see this happening for lots of brands. I guess Chris Hemsworth does CenterFit. He does F45. Yeah, probably someone could have done...
50 Cent did Vitamin Water back in the day.
Yeah, and you can just imagine that, right? Like, there's so many fitness brands out there. More and more celebrities can be like, that's my fitness thing.
Yeah.
You know, and that will be like a big way that fitness brands grow their brand. Because like, bodybuilding and stuff has that because the bodybuilders are kind of celebrities, but this will be like regular celebrities that put their name...
Yeah.
On fitness routines.
Yeah, it's like all the Victoria's Secret models on Dog Pound, right?
It's a bit different, I guess, because it's not like for the masses.
Right.
But I think I could really see that. You said like, cause celebrity, oh, I want to look like that celebrity. He's like, man, this might work out routine. It's just near you. Yeah. Like, oh, Matt, sounds awesome.
And they find out that Mark does F45 once a month.
Yeah.
Just when he buys
and he was in great shape before F45.
Yeah. He actually pumps iron. Okay, so I think it's going to be a really good series. We only got stuck into episode one. But so far, how it's filmed, the level of production, obviously Mark's life is super interesting. I'm giving you a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, probably 4 out of 5 as well, man. Yeah. It's good. Yeah, it's I'm excited to watch the rest.
And who doesn't love Mark Wahlberg, right? So, very excited. Guys, make sure that you check out our sponsors, Black Roll True Protein, and then they have the awesome sale going on. We need to announce the winner of the giveaway. I know some of you guys are hanging on and have been waiting for this. We will announce that very soon. Stay tuned. That will be on the Instagram. So make sure you check out the MMP Instagram because we are announcing the winner on there. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll speak to you all next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themindmuscleproject.com/The After Show. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.